Now, the gambling regulation bill was before the Dáil today in its final stages before being passed into law. It's been a long time coming. It is, after all, the Gambling Regulation Bill 2022. It was originally published as a bill back in 2013, these proposals, but industry sources say the bill is a landmark and long overdue piece of legislation which aims to establish oversight of a sector frequently characterised as a Wild West. Gabby Agata-Fitzcaita, give us the main provisions of the bill.
Yes, so as you rightfully say, I mean, really this piece of legislation has really been very much so long awaited, and it feels almost difficult to believe that it has not been passed yet. It is Minister of State James Brown. He's the junior minister in the Department of Justice. It's his baby, so to speak. And basically what it seeks to do is to regulate the sector and, I suppose, put in some constraints around advertising, especially around, you know, certain hours, effectively putting in a watershed on advertising during those hours. Now, there has been a lot of lobbying of politicians around the gambling legislation, and I think it's interesting to see, you know, the some of the amendments that are being put forward by TDs this week. But certainly, I think the government is under pressure to pass this legislation and to actually get it enacted in the time that it has left in office.
Oh yeah, I think the minister himself, he was on with me a couple of Saturdays ago saying he could have built schools with the stacks of lobbying letters he got. Let's hear a bit from the debate tonight. Minister James Brown, at one of the more contentious bits of the debate, having a right go at the opposition.
You don't want to regulate gambling. You want to regulate the commercial gambling industry. And that is different than what we are doing, because we treat this as a public health crisis. And if you are listening in your Oireachtas, your deputy constituencies, you will know there's a crisis out there with gambling addiction. And the ESRI report from last Christmas shows that it is 10 times worse than even what we thought was the worst case scenario. But you, Sinn Féin, want exemptions for charities, sports, schools, radio, bingo and horse racing. Because you've came to me not here tonight, but elsewhere on that. So we don't want anything really covered. So we don't. So you're not treating it the same as alcohol or tobacco or any other high-risk activity. You just want to regulate a financial industry. And that's fine. But be honest and say that, please.
As Minister of State at the Department of Justice, Fianna Fáil's James Brown. Pa Daly, Sinn Féin's justice spokesperson here with us in studio. Pa Daly, how do you answer that charge sheet of looking for that many exemptions? Do you want that many exemptions from the gambling regulation bill?
Well, I suppose to start, Gabby is right in saying that this bill is going on a very long time, and I have to pay credit to Martin Kenny and Tommy Gould from our party, who sat through all the Justice Committee. And Thomas Gould has a lot of experience dealing with gambling addiction, particularly people in the Cork area. But while, you know, we support an awful lot of this bill, we support the establishment of the new Údaráis Rialacha Cearbhacas na hÉireann, which is the authority where which will decide a lot of things. However, of course, we have some amendments in. We had some one or two in particular are dealing with the Údaráis itself and who can be assigned onto that. We wanted, for example, somebody who has lived experience of gambling addiction on the bill or on the authority. We also wanted no more than two people who had been in paid employment in the previous 2 years from the industry, so to speak, to be on the bill. We have other prohibitions in relation to credit card gambling. However, there are
concerns. But in terms of exemptions, would you like to see exempt from the provisions of gambling
regulation? Well, you see, in the advertising section, it's very easy to go in and say, oh, you don't want any advertising of gambling at all. But then what do you do when you see your local GAA club or your soccer club, or you have a cancer draw? So what the government are proposing to do is have a cap of €10,000 in value, and over that you will not be able to advertise your lotto or your draw for the hospice if the value is going to be more than €10,000. So there was a debate tonight, and it's got.
Do you feel it's too hard on horse racing?
Well, I'm not sure where he's talking about the horse racing exemptions, because they aren't really in there, with not of our amendments anyway. But, you know, when a lotto, a club lotto, goes over 10,000 euro, there will now be a prohibition on anybody pushing that out by boosting the post in your local area, for example. That won't be included. And, you know, the minister was criticising us in that, you know, he felt that, and he's not here to defend himself, so I have to be relatively fair to him.
He did accept, it should be said, some of the amendments that were put forward. He certainly said he'd look into some of them that were designed to close loopholes during the exchanges tonight.
He did, but you know, if you have a chance of 1 in 36,000 usually on a 32 number lotto, I personally feel that that's not something that should be covered by the bill. If it goes over 10,000, you should be able to advertise in your local community. If there are you know, a cancer support group and they are having a raffle or advertising a car, for example, that will be banned by this legislation. And he wants to distinguish, he doesn't want to distinguish between it. We feel that there are subtleties that can be explored. It went on for 4 hours tonight. It didn't finish. It's going back to next week.
We don't have 4 hours tonight, so yeah. I'm going to get Tim Lombard's response to that. Tim Lombard, is it potentially going to be too hard on small operators? I mean, if exemptions can be made, as they are being made, for political parties in terms of their fundraising draws, why not more people?
What I'd say is, look, as the minister said in his piece there, like, we've been at this since 2013. It's been going around the circles. There's been an awful lot of talk about this piece of legislation. Like, the last active piece of legislation passed was in the 1930s, and another piece of legislation passed in the 1950s. Like, the figures that the minister was alluding to is that 1 in 30, one of us in every 30 has a gambling addiction in Ireland at the moment. Like, we didn't realise it was that bad.
There are figures from the ESRI, yeah.
Yeah, they are absolutely frightening. And look, I'm not a man into gambling at all. I don't ever put a bet down. But I just think that is an epidemic. And because of that, we have to take measures that are appropriate. And the measures that are appropriate are major, because we haven't regulated since the 1950s. Like, the online issue is something that we just need to start discussing. I was getting the Lewis back to the train station there 2 weeks ago, and there was a young man on the phone gambling, and by the time I got to Euston, he had 20 euros lost on his actual phone from Connolly Station. Like, this is what's actually happening in a daily routine when we have people who are actually involved in actual, you know, online gambling.
Sure, so is that the type of gambling that should be targeted rather than small clubs and charities and concerns?
I think charities and concerns, the minister said he's going to look at minor amendments this evening. It was a 4-hour debate. I'm not sure what the minister's going to come back with regarding what those amendments are. Like, the 10,000 limit, which has been talked about for clubs, yeah, it does go over the lotto on one occasion or another. The majority of them don't go over the 10,000 euro lotto. Like, that's a significant lotto if you're going to have a 2 euro line.
A significant number of clubs are probably wondering if it ever gets.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I just think, do you know, like, we can't legislate for every minor issue that comes right up. But I am deeply concerned about this, like, the online element. Like, we had a debate today in Shannon about online safety with mobile phones. This is another issue that has totally spiralled out of control. And because of that, this piece of legislation needs to be enacted.
All right. Matt Shannon, have you had time, I suppose, to look at the detail of the bill, first of all, and second of all, bearing in mind all of the complexities that have grown up in gambling since the 1950s, particularly with the online aspect of it and algorithms and the like, do you think it's adequate?
Well, I think there's a problem. We are, in a way, trying to regulate and protect people from themselves to a point, and that's something we have to consider. Problem gambling is a problem. It's not a problem for everybody, but it's a problem for a significant amount of people, and I would say it's concentrated now largely in the youth, unfortunately, and the amount of targeting that has gone on at the youth, as we can all see it in media, it's grown exponentially. So we do have to provide legislation to it. But I suppose I interjected with the minister tonight specifically in relation to something I brought up with Deputy Varadkar some weeks ago, which was the idea of a credit card block for those in gambling addiction, those recovering, whereby they basically allow the banks to block their credit card for 24, 48 hours from allowing them to gamble. And that has been done very successfully in the UK. The banks here agreed it over 2 years ago, and we haven't proposed to move that along.
And in tandem with that, would it be a good idea, I suppose, to remove the stimulus, the urge, at least to try and dial down the urge to gamble and to crack down on advertising accordingly?
Well, I think it's... It's a very, very difficult area because, as the point has been made, and I made the point in the Dáil tonight, I'm from Waterford. Waterford GA last year put on an exceptional house raffle and made €600,000. That was basically, is all of it is going into club redevelopment and junior play. Okay, so a wonderful initiative. And the problem now, if this bill goes through as it is, that's something that can't be advertised in the future. So it's not going to return that money. And I made the point to the minister tonight, those tickets are €100 each. The people that are buying those tickets, in my opinion, are actually, they know what they're buying. They're supporting a GAA club raffle. They're not really expecting
to win. They're not in
to
it to win it.
They're not in it to win it.
Quid to
yeah,
for GAA.
And they, this is the collateral damage that we were trying to talk about to the minister tonight. I'm not sure he was as receptive as he should have been, and we hope to see something in the amendments that he's proposed.
Right. Well, Patelli, have you been lobbied?
We have met a lot of various groups, and the one that particularly stood out for me was Gambling Lives Matter, where we had met two families whose children had taken their own lives due to gambling addiction. And, you know, I'm glad to see that there are about 60 amendments which came from the government side to their own bill.
I should say, sorry to interrupt you at this point, I mean, we are discussing an issue that could be a trigger for people, and there are some serious issues arising for it. If anybody over the course of this conversation finds themselves experiencing any difficulty or distress, you can go to rt.ie/helplines if you want to get any support there. Sorry, yeah, go on.
Yes, and gambling is everywhere, and gambling advertisements is everywhere, subtle or non, and we're you know, we want to strengthen the regulator who can make decisions to limit it in as much as possible, any of the advertising from the major multi-million billion-dollar companies that are Euro companies that are in the market.
All right, Gabby, you got
if I can also say, if I can also say, I mean, the issue of lobbying, I think, especially around this piece of legislation, has been really quite to the forefront. We did see 2 years ago that, you know, a number of politicians got themselves into trouble because they attended this event that was hosted by a gambling, by the gambling industry in a hospitality tent at Punchestown, you know, racing festival. And so I think it's just very difficult for TDs and senators because, in fairness, they are lobbied. It's a part of the normal. It's a part of how politics works, I suppose, to be lobbied, that you're meeting people because you're bringing in laws, you're legislating for changes that are going to impact different parts of society, and those parts of society sometimes come out and talk to you. I want to just very quickly say as well, I mean, these laws will introduce the strict regulation of gambling advertising, and it's going to actually have a watershed, including on online ads between the hours of 5:30 in the morning and then 9 p.m. So I think the gambling industry, you know, is fearful of what impact that is going to have on them, and that's why they think it's very important to go out and meet politicians. But certainly, you know, if there are changes that are being made, I think maybe there is an argument to be made for, you know, how much has this been influenced, and certainly people who are bringing forward amendments, how much they have been influenced by lobbying.
Padil, you mentioned there you met, you know, concerned families. I'll get to the other panellists in a minute, but have you been approached by industry, and what was the nature of the approach, if you were?
Well, we have had discussions with many different types of people, from GA clubs to bingo halls to obviously the people who are dealing with addiction on a regular basis, and they all have their own concerns. You know, there was questions over, you know, more, you know, subtle advertising, as to, you know, if you had and I think it has been dealt with in relation to, you know, logos and that may be on some people, so that
for any example, betting companies come to you
if they have written to us. Yeah.
Have you met them?
Yeah. We did, yeah. We met everyone from all sides. And so, I mean, if you have a TikTok account, for example, and if you are seen at a, you know, at a racetrack, and there is advertising in the background, you know, this could fall foul of that legislation, right, too.
Tim Lombard, have you been approached by any representatives of any industries, as, you know, to try and colour your view, I suppose, of the gambling regulation legislation?
I suppose I would have spoken to people from an organisation in my own parish called Tabor Lodge, which do significant work in this space and have over many, many generations regarding addiction and how they actually work with people who have issues. So I would work. I have worked with them for the last 20 years, so I'm very much aware of their views on this. I was spoken to people from the J fraternity in particular about issues regarding the €10,000 limit. And I had correspondence sent to me from betting organisations, as they'd say, looking to meet, but I wouldn't be in that space. So
did you get the impression that these were pro forma letters that were being sent to everyone, or did they specifically target you?
Well, they were specifically targeting me with a phone call afterwards, but I was not, and I'm not in a position to meet them. I just wouldn't be.
Matt Shannon, what about yourself? Did you any approaches or letters or anything?
No, I wasn't actually lobbied at all, but I'm not a gambler, and I'd say maybe that's the problem. I'm not known as somebody who would be, ever in a betting shop or takes an interest in any gambling. So, but the one thing I will say is that, again, we have an addiction centre in Waterford, Ashery, which does great work. And I didn't actually believe it was a problem, let's say, like alcoholism, until I went out there and I met two guys and I kind of understood.
Well, according to the ESRI, 28% of revenues for gambling comes from problem gamblers. It's a huge proportion of the revenues. It's not sort of, spread across... evenly across a large number of gamblers. It seems to be particularly concentrated in one area.
And I would think you might also, if you look at those treatment centres, you will find the people who are problem gambling maybe have a drug addiction as well, have other, addictions going on. So they are definitely, there are people who are really, really struggling at that end. And then there's probably other people who are, like functional alcoholics. But there's no doubt problem gambling is absolutely destructive.
Right. So who instinctively would you have more sympathy for? There's been concerns raised by people, say, within the horse racing industry. Willie Mullins, for example, said, highlighting that racing employs 30,000 people, generates $2.4 billion annually. He was expressing concern if Racing TV were forced to end their Irish coverage, which they've said they might have to do, if advertising was banned in Ireland, that it could jeopardise horse racing, would you?
And I think that's it's something we have to remember. We have a very important equine component in this country, but what I would like to see is actually the breakdown of gambling, to what sectors it actually goes. My experience would tell me actually that it's probably very much related to the Premiership, and probably now is leaking into GAA as well. So I've been involved with GAA. I hear the younger lads talking about betting. It's always about the Premiership and it's about GAA. I don't ever hear them talking about horses, funny enough. So I just wonder, it is obviously it's something we've got to look at.
So potentially racing could do without it. I mean, Formula One did without tobacco, so did snooker. Could racing do without gambling advertising?
I'm sure it could certainly do without a component of it. It depends on, if you go down to the likes of the Curry, you'd have to understand, what they're getting from bookies, stands and all of that in terms of their operational costs. At the end of the day, people in horses want to race horses. They want the sport of horses. They're not there to gamble on horses. You'd be a fool.
You don't think so?
No, you'd be a fool. I know something about the bloodstock industry because I have people related to me in it. And generally, it's about the horses and it's about the racing. The gambling is very secondary. And for most guys, they don't actually gamble in it because they don't make money at it.
Do you agree with that, Paddy?
I think it's a habit, though, isn't it? It's a habit, though, isn't it? And especially, you're speaking there about people who have serious, issues. There's a lot of people out there who have serious gambling issues. And certainly, Tim spoke about it earlier, this notion of it being so accessible on your phone, you don't even necessarily have to go into the bookies anymore. I mean, that's what makes it really so dangerous for people, is because it's in the palm of their hand at all times. You don't even have to leave your house, go down the street and go into the bookies. And I think once something becomes a habit for people and it becomes a true issue, it can be very hard to pull away from because of how accessible it actually is.
Paddy, in making the choice, if it came to potentially harming an industry like Racing TV, for example, or intervening in a public health measure in the lives of people whose jobs presumably are also disrupted by gambling, what choice would you make?
Well, there's certainly, I come from Kerry, and the annual Harvest Festival in the Stowell, for example, is something that is an essential part of the social fabric of North Kerry. In Tralee, we lost our race course, and I wouldn't like to see that any other town of a similar size losing theirs either, because of maybe an overreach. The real target here is online gambling where there's no social benefit whatsoever. And there is provision, and we had an amendment actually to have a social to amend the Social Impact Fund to align it more with the New Zealand model. That amendment wasn't taken. The minister felt that there needs to be more discretion in the Social Impact Fund, and you know that's his decision. But you know, if you look around the country, to Kilbeggan,
are you saying that it should be less focused on banning advertising and more concerned with fundraising to fund addiction services? Is that it?
Well, certainly there should be money that should be directed towards the funding of addiction services. But I think a blanket ban on all advertising, as was proposed by somebody else, is not realistic if the consequences are going to be that it will have a serious impact on social fabric and rural Ireland.
Sure, but public health measures, and Tim Lumbert, I get your thoughts on this as well, public health measures to counteract smoking affected, you know, the people who were employed in the tobacco industry on the South Circular Road and in County Louth. Jobs are lost as a result of public health measures. If people drink less, it's likely that, you know, the alcohol sector won't be as lucrative. I mean, there are choices to governance to choose, Pat Daly.
Well, and that's what we're there for, and that's what we have to balance all of that up. But if there is an advertising on a racetrack at Killarney Races, if that is all to be banned for people who are actually attending the races, I don't think that's the same as, you know, inducements being sent to problem gamblers by the online companies and bets on virtual racing, which takes place and which deliberately goes out to suck people in who have gambling problems.
Tim Lumbert, are some job losses a price worth paying?
I think the right thing needs to be done here. I think one in every 30 has an issue here. And if you look at the industry, you talk about the racing industry. I went to the Bandon Point to Points there, a miserable day about 3 weeks ago, I'll never forget it. But like, you had the community came out, there was sponsorship from other organisations for every race, and there was 3 bookies in the corner. Like, it's not about the actual bookies in the corner, it was about meeting the public, meeting the neighbours, meeting the friends, having a bag of chips for the kids. Like, that's what the actual point-to-points were in Bandon that day. Yes, there was people gathered around the bookies, no point saying there wasn't. But that wasn't a real core issue, it was about the horse racing itself. So that's my outing once a year, that's my knowledge of the industry, and it's a family affair, that's what we do. And what I would say to you is, that's what we should be looking for the industry itself. Right.
Gabby, the position of political parties has been raised. They have an exemption from this. Is it, looking at it from the outside, could people be forgiven for thinking that there might be a double standard at play?
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. Obviously, we did see, you know, previous moves by, I think it was Fianna Fáil a couple of years ago, who tried to use, you know, a charity loophole to try and fundraise their money. And I think after that was exposed, I think they lost about €500,000. So look, it's all relative, I suppose, when it comes to fundraising and where does the line actually have to be drawn. But I think certainly when you speak there about public health issues, I mean, we just went through a huge public health emergency, and of course we saw how, you know, politicians made, you know, certainly very extreme and harsh decisions, but to do what was right for the sake of the public when it came to public health. If you look at the smoking ban, as you say there as well, that obviously had an impact on businesses too. I think what's interesting here with this piece of legislation is that perhaps gambling has been one of those addictions that maybe perhaps has been forgotten. The lobbying around it is so strong from the industry, who say, you know, jobs will be lost and so on. But ultimately, it's one of those moral conundrums for politicians to try and make a decision as to, you know, what perhaps they feel like they should do and what may be the best for the good of the public.
I'm Matt Shannon. What do you think of political parties, lotteries? Do you think they should be thrown on the bonfire in the interests of convincing the public that this ban on gambling advertising is across the board?
Well, I think there is a bit of a double standard, to be honest with you, that the politicians have managed to keep themselves out of this legislative loop at the moment. So, yeah, that's something that we looked at. But I said to the minister tonight, you know, about possibly straying into the law of unintended consequences. I think there's a little bit of that there with respect to some of the legislation that he's proposing. And as Tim pointed out, exactly what he said, you've got community organisations around the country where gambling may be there, but it's a tiny part of the activity, right. And we have to recognise that.
Tim has texted in or tweeted in to say if GAA lotteries aren't in it to win it, then surely they'll still enter draws capped than the less than the 10,000 limit. That's from Tim. And somebody else saying, I enjoy betting the horses. Maybe I'm an addict, but I have no debts. I don't want to see the state become a nanny state. It's my choice to place bets. All right.